Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. Sports Grid Pro Football Full Circle. Drew Martin, Mark Zetto, holding it down, getting you ready for Super Bowl 58 Sunday, February 11th. Between the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll take a look ahead towards these opening lines, side and total. Get you ready for the game. Recap both the NFC and AFC championship games. So all coming your way. Follow Mark on Twitter, at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter, at Drew Martin Betts. We got at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV, Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Championship Sunday in the books, Mark Zeno. Welcome on into the show, buddy. How'd it treat you?
Well, the one takeaway you should leave championship weekend with is simply this. If you're into sports betting and you're into handicapping, the simple thing that you need to know going forward is that you absolutely cannot, and there is no way to be able to handicap bad, stupid coaching. There's nothing you can do. As a sports bettor and handicapper, I have no idea when a head coach is going to go completely off the reservation or an offensive coordinator is going to go completely counter to what they did for the previous, 18 games that they played and decide to do something maniacally different than what they have done before. You cannot handicap bad coaching. You cannot handicap stupid coaching decisions. You cannot handicap when a coach will absolutely take the game and change the course of it because they made a maniacal, piss-poor, bad coaching decision. And that's what you should take away from both of these games. Because I don't have a good explanation as to why the Baltimore Ravens and John Harbaugh, who I think is one of the best coaches in this league, one of the most prepared coaches in this league, and his offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, would decide to come out and throw the ball like they were facing the worst pass defense in the league. Not a top five pass defense in the league, but the worst one. The Ravens, in Lamar Jackson's history as a starter, when he rushes for 70 yards in a game, they are 25-8 straight up. When he rushes for 90 yards in a game, they're 17-2 straight up. Someone needs to explain to me why they threw the ball more than they ran it. Why their two running backs had a combined, like, what was it, 6 or 7 carries? Something maniacally stupid. I don't have an answer for that. I don't have an answer for when a head coach like Dan Campbell, whose coaching style on the playbook, at the top of the playbook, it reads balls over brains by Dan Campbell. When a game can be tied with a field goal in the fourth quarter, you decide to go for it on 4th and 3. And not only that, take a shot 25 yards down the field. Now the Lions ended up covering, but if you were somebody who took the Lions on the money line, that's a game-swinging play right there to give the ball back to San Francisco because they were going to go down the field and score a touchdown and make it a 10-point game. I have no idea how to handicap that. And if somebody else out there does, please let me know. But my takeaway from championship weekend is you absolutely cannot handicap stupid, bad coaching decisions, and there's no way to do it.
We got it teed up there from Mark, guys, and I'll tell you, I guess I'll start with the latter here. The Detroit Lions, Kansas City Chiefs, guys. If you missed it, by the way, and you're just tuning in, game finishes 34-31. That was the Niners on top of the Lions. 7 in the hook, 51 being the total. Game gets over, and San Francisco laying that 7.5 does not cover. Detroit actually slips through the back door with a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter. Four Lions backers there. I'll tell you, the Dan Campbell not kicking it in the fourth quarter, was just talking with Frank, our producer behind the scenes, and Matt, and that was one of the more head-scratching calls, Mark, that I can really remember. I mean, like you just teed up. It's in the fourth quarter. You're down three. You kick the field goal, man. You don't go for it. It would have been, what, a 47, 48-yarder, something of that nature. Not necessarily a chip shot, guys, but this is the NFL. I mean, you got to trust your kicker a little bit. You know, the holder, the snapper, the whole unit, and he didn't. So that one, I'm totally with you. I really am. The Ravens one, though, well, I guess I'll throw it back over to you as I agree with one of your takes and I disagree with the other, Mark Zitto.
Well, look, you're talking to somebody who, as you know, despises kickers as the most evil humans on the entire planet. Yeah. So if I'm sitting here advocating that you should send one of those idiots out there, it should tell you something, right? Like, I never want to aim down to a kicker. But the idea from a coaching and game management standpoint, which is your number one job as the head coach, is to make decisions in moments of the game that will put your team in a position to win the game. That was the right call, was to kick the – I get it. That's how we got here, going for it nonstop. I get it. But at some point, you've got to put your ego in your pocket and say, the time is now to tie this game and let our defense try to make a play for us. Now, I'm not here to listen to his press conference. If a coach was so honest to say that I did not think my defense was going to be able to get a stop, I didn't think that there was a way that we were going to get the ball back if we didn't score a touchdown. I mean, even at that, with 8 minutes left, there was enough time for them to go back down and score another touchdown and take the lead again. So the point simply is to keep it a one-score game the whole time. And by kicking a field goal, that's what you did. That's your job, to manage the game in that moment. Because if your defense doesn't get a stop after you kick the field goal, guess what? It's still a one-score game. If your defense doesn't get a stop after you don't kick the field goal and don't get the first down, guess what? Now it's a two-score game. I mean, it just, again, it's not really that hard. Like, it's not a hard ask to turn around and just go kick the field goal. Can't explain it. Can't justify it. It's just mind-blowing.
And it's almost kind of like parlayed with the decision-making at the end of the first half. The Lions were up 21-7 with about 10 seconds left in the first half inside the 5-yard line. And Dan Campbell, I mean, he goes for it on fourth down, I believe more than any other NFL coach since he's been hired 3 years ago. And it was one of those, man, is he going to go for this at the end of the first half? And they ended up kicking the field goal, Mark. And actually, I think that was the right decision. And then the one, you know, in the fourth quarter was the wrong decision, not kicking it. So I think both times he should have kicked it. But our producer, Frank, to reference again, he was like, man, it's crazy that you kick it at the end of the first half and you don't kick it in the fourth quarter. That's almost like opposite of what you should do, because coming down to the end of the game, you know, I'm all for taking chances. But if you're not taking chances early in the game and then you take the chances late in the game, it's almost like, now you're rolling the dice late in the night when you've already had, you know, seven gin and tonics.
Giving yourself a chance to recover from not getting it, right?
Exactly.
Clock is the issue. The game. It's not about whether what Dan Campbell did all season long to get to this moment. That's not how it goes. Look, best example I can give you, okay? If you're in combat, all right? And the way you're advancing on the enemy is ground forces, ground forces, ground forces. And then guess what? Towards the end of the battle, they match you ground force to ground force. Guess what? The idea isn't to keep sending more people on the ground to go win the battle. You have to try a different strategy to go do it, and Dan Campbell didn't. So I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I'm saying it was a stupid coaching decision.
Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, guys, we got a short break. More on the other side. Four, Super Bowl 58. Don't go anywhere. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Sports Grid Pro Football Full Circle. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno. We're spending some time getting you ready for Sunday, February 11th, Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas, Nevada, Super Bowl 58 between the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. 2 weeks away, so we got some time. We're going to first recap AFC Championship game, then hit the NFC Championship game, then give our initial thoughts here on the Super Bowl opening lines. But yeah, we'll first start off here. Conference Championship Sunday, January 28th in the books. 3 o'clock Eastern, 12 noon Pacific was the first game up. Kansas City Chiefs, Baltimore Ravens. Ravens went off as the 4.5-point favorite, 44.5 the total. Game stays under, and the dog was barking as the Kansas City Chiefs win it outright, 17-10. Man, this Chiefs team played some good defense, some question marks in terms of the Ravens' play calling. Lamar Jackson did not look like the same quarterback that we've really seen all season long here. Weather was a little bit of a factor, at least in my opinion here, Mark. The wind, a little bit wet out there, it looked like. But ultimately, the defense is at the forefront, and it was the Chiefs coming out on top, 17-10. So what'd you think of first game up here in the AFC Championship game from Baltimore, Maryland, Mark?
I can't understand the offensive philosophy with which the Ravens approached this game. I thought it was flawed. You watched the Buffalo Bills gash that team last week for 182 yards on the ground. It's absolutely maniacal that they went away from the run with any sense of regularity. The number one rushing team in the league with the number one rushing quarterback in the league. And oh, by the way, it should have told you everything you needed to know. In the first quarter of the game, when the Ravens went for it on 4th-and-1, down 7-0, and they let Lamar keep the ball, and he ran for 28 yards on one play. Like, you know, how about every 4th down or 3rd-and-short, that's the play we run. We don't stand in shotgun and throw the ball 8 yards down the field. Again, just absolutely maniacal. I don't know what was wrong with Lamar Jackson today. I don't know why he didn't take off more often. I don't know why he was not willing to run the way he did in the game against the Texans and just shred the entire defense. Because, again, this is a legitimate pass defense of the Kansas City Chiefs, one of the best in the league. And if you would have liked to have kept those corners honest, or at least liked to keep those linebackers cheating up a little bit, all you had to do was take off more. But you didn't. You didn't. You have the best running quarterback in the league. And for a guy who told everybody, I want the ball in my hands with the game on the line. Yeah, you had the ball in your hands. And then you tried to throw it to somebody else, which made no sense to me whatsoever. Full disclosure, yes, I was on Lamar's rushing yards over prop. But it, from a game script standpoint, it made no sense for them to go away from the run the way that they did.
Mark, I was on it as well. And to tell you the truth, guys, if you didn't pay attention to the props market coming up to the game, I mean, it was 57, his rushing yards prop. When it opened.
I can't even be mad that I took a bad number. And I didn't think I took a bad number at 65. I don't think I took a bad number. I was okay with 65. Anything below 70, I would have been okay with. But you didn't even get to the original opening number. Like, crazy.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. Guys, if you're coming back and joining us, Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country, thank you. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, we talked about it. We both liked it right off the open. I slept on it, bet it the next morning, Mark. It was already 61.5. It already moved 4 points on the first night it opened. And then I saw it as high as like 67 out there just yesterday. So it moved a full 10 yards, which is a lot. If you're new to sports betting, by the way, guys. And I agree with your sentiment from the last segment, Mark, in terms of the play calling in general, just not having more rushing plays overall. But I would add to the fact, and you just touched on it, Lamar Jackson with 8 carries, 54 yards, a 6.8 yards per rush is ridiculous. The fact that he did not run the ball, you have the athletic ability. You had the season that you had. You're 2 games away from a Super Bowl, Mark, and you don't take the game. You're receiving the snap every single play as the quarterback. You can run the ball. I guarantee you that he has the ability to drop back and pass, see an opening, and run. The fact that he did not run more, this is going to be hard for him to shake. It really is, Mark Zeno. I'm telling you, this is going to hang around with the whole Lamar Jackson.
100%. The narrative about him in the playoffs, if you watched him consistently miss receivers, sail balls, make bad decisions in throwing, all those things that everybody said about Lamar Jackson, about his actual quarterbacking and passing skills, were put on display at the worst times in the biggest moment here on Sunday. Everything about his narrative is now going to come back to life about not being able to win in the playoffs. Sure, you could beat the 7 seed. Sure, you could beat one of the bottom wild card teams. When push comes to shove and you're playing in a championship game, it's choke city.
It really is, guys. I mean, 8 carries for 54 yards. That's nuts. And I mean, tip your cap to the Chiefs. Just being a casual fan, you could see they were kind of mush rushing him a little bit, you know, at times, which is the smart thing to do when you're facing an athletic quarterback. Don't just go up in your rushing lane, you know, kind of keep control of where he can run. All of that put aside, he should have ran the football more. And again, this is going to be hard for him to shake. This is going to stay with this kind of, you know, Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. Look at his postseason stats, guys. He's 2-4 in 6 games, 6 touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns, 3 fumbles, by the way, a 6-6 touchdown to interception ratio. Man, that was tough to watch. I mean, to see this market move the full 10 yards and be wrong, Mark, it was just head scratching.
The throw that he made in the end zone into triple coverage, where he clearly – it was – forget triple coverage. Like, he didn't even see the safety who came over and ultimately picked the ball off. One, the ball was underthrown. Two, the ball was late and didn't see the safety. It was just a terrible throw, a terrible decision, and just unreal. And let's, for one moment here, talk about Zay Flowers and the game that he had. Because I talked about that prop last week, too. I thought it was really low. And I didn't play it this week. I didn't play the over on it, but I kind of wish I stuck to my guns. But the weather thing kind of scared me off. And a lot of people said, I don't know, the weather and this, that, and the other. And Mark Andrews is coming back. And I'm like, eh. And Mark Andrews, by the way, was like a shell of himself. He was not 100% in this game. And I'm not sure why coaches do that sometimes. But anyway, I say all that to say that I had a former NFL player text me during the game. And I'm just going to put it out there as is. I'm not going to provide any commentary on it. But he said to me, Zay Flowers is a me guy. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you never, ever lunge and dive for the end zone unless it's fourth down. And I thought about that, and I mentioned it to a couple of other former collegiate-level football and NFL players that I know, and I said, yeah, that's right. You don't dive for the end zone unless it's fourth down. Like, that's a I want to get the touchdown thing, not I want to preserve the ball and everything else. Because look what happens when you dive. You put ball security at risk. Now, I'm not saying that's the reason the Ravens lost the game, but it certainly was the biggest moment of the game for him not to get in the end zone there.
Interesting. Okay. You know what? I agree with that kind of philosophy in playing the sport of football, especially because the risk you're taking if you fumble the ball and it goes out of bounds, we've seen it how many times now. We actually talked about, do they need to change that rule? But Mark, a lot of guys have that issue. I think a lot of guys are technically, you know, quote unquote, me guys in terms of diving for the end zone. Zay Flowers being one of them is what it sounds like. And yeah, maybe some other guys need to kind of read that handbook, so to speak. But Lamar Jackson, again, guys, 20 of 37, 272 yards through the air, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He was sacked 4 times for 17 yards, I guess, minus there. But the 8 carries for 54 yards. We talked about it. That's just a tough one. And to tell you the truth, 4 quarterbacks played in the AFC and the NFC championship game. Lamar Jackson, 4 out of 4, in my opinion, Mark. I mean, Jared Goff also lost. But to tell you the truth, I thought he played a lot more, a better game overall. I mean, obviously more through the air. He was accurate with the football. Came through the back door as well with the Lions side of things. But guys, we'll break down for the AFC NFC championship game on the other side. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid, Pro Football Full Circle, Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, recapping the NFC and AFC championship games. We'll get you ready for Super Bowl 58 from Las Vegas, Nevada. It was the Chiefs 17, Baltimore Ravens 10. They scored all of their 17 points in the first half and then hung on to win the game, only giving up 10 points to the Ravens, only 3 points in the second half here. Patrick Mahomes, 30 of 39, 241 yards. Just a 6.2 average here, Mark, but one touchdown, zero interceptions. Efficient football, we could call it. Pacheco, 24 carries for 68 yards. So actually the Ravens defense did a pretty good job. A really good job, actually, defending the running attack. And to tell you the truth, overall, total yardage-wise, I mean, just 241 yards for Mahomes. The 30 of 39, that is, you know, heck of a completion percentage there. Travis Kelce led the way receiving-wise, 11 receptions, 116 yards, over a 10-yard average with a touchdown. Rice also had 8 carries, 46 yards there for the Chiefs. Zay Flowers, Mark talked about it last segment, 5 receptions, 115 yards, 23 average there. But, you know, he hits his over receiving prop, but in losing fashion here. So, Mark, kind of looking at it from a Chiefs angle, you know, Patrick Mahomes, 30 of 39, that is not bad. He gets the win. He's heading to the Super Bowl again, man. Are you giving What do you think overall of the Chiefs' performance today in Baltimore?
I mean, you can't get mad at their performance. I mean, look, they're the most nauseating team in professional sports right now. Like, I don't think that's debatable. If you're not from Kansas City, Missouri, or whatever other side of the state of Kansas that, you know, roots for that team, if you're not one of those people, they are the most nauseating, annoying team in professional sports right now. Emotions aside from that, can't get mad at them. They're extremely well coached. They have a great quarterback. They know how to play in big moments. The situation, the environment doesn't faze them. And, oh, by the way, yeah, the receptions prop for Travis Kelce is going to be so high for the Super Bowl. My guess would be 9.5 or 10, or 10.5 even. Somewhere between 9.5 and 10.5 would be the receptions prop. Like, Mahomes always knows how to find Kelce in big games. And what teams fail to do is make the adjustment early on when he does that to go, okay, guess what? Like, I can understand it when Tyreek Hill was on the field. That made sense. But if you're the 49ers and Travis Kelce catches 10 balls, shame on you. You deserve to lose that game. That is the one person on the field you do not let beat you. End of conversation, end of discussion. If the 49ers and their defensive crew can't figure that out, you don't deserve to win that game. And that's the bottom line. You let anybody else beat you, whatever scrub is playing wide receiver for this team that they just pulled off the street the other day, guys who all of a sudden found their hands 2 weeks ago that couldn't find them for the first 17 weeks of the season, you don't let Travis Kelce beat you. Because Mahomes always finds a way to get him the ball in these games. Go look at his playoff numbers. It's not a shock why he leads, like, you know, every tight end reception category in the history of the game, even passing Gronk at this point, who played in a lot more playoff games than he did to this point in his career. So, you know, it's just, again, coaching. How do you handicap a coach who goes, you know what, I guess we'll leave 87 open. We'll play zone, let 87 sit right in the middle there. It'll be fine. Good idea. Let's do that. How? Like, to let him, it's not... It wasn't like he was targeted 19 times and caught 11. He was targeted 11 and caught all 11. That's a problem. Like, that should not happen to the best offensive weapon on the field, not named the quarterback. I mean, would you let Justin Jefferson get 11 catches on 11 targets? Would you let Ja'Marr Chase get 11 catches on 11 targets? Would you let Amon-Ra St. Brown get 11 catches on 11 targets? How about no? Because you don't leave dudes that wide open. Coaching, man. You know, it matters.
But it's also tough to defend, you know, and the coach is kind of defensive of that. It's not like a wide receiver where you can, you know, he's out and you can kind of go one-on-one coverage a little bit more. You know, it's very difficult on defenses. That's why we're seeing this kind of, I mean, we call it a tight end, but it's really like a hybrid wide receiver. I mean, we've even seen players in the past, you know, get franchise tagged at the tight end position, and then in their kind of, you know, going against the team to get more money, they say, no, I want to be paid as a wide receiver because they get more money. And it kind of speaks to this fact. It's difficult to defend some of these guys. It's a big target. You know, most linebackers are giving up a whole lot of height to Travis Kelce. And it's difficult on cornerbacks, difficult on safeties. How do you really do it? To go one-on-one coverage with him is very difficult. And then in a zone, I mean, we've seen him just kind of tear up zones. That's happened. What happened a lot today. Again, guys, Kelce, 11 receptions, 116 yards, over a 10 average there. And actually, we're making some history on today's show. Travis Kelce passed Jerry Rice for most postseason catches today. So it's not only the tight ends, Mark Zeno. It's anybody. It's wide receivers as well. He has the most catches. Forget Gronk. We're bringing up Jerry Rice now. He's surpassing.
That ought to tell you something. That ought to tell you something. Again, it's just maniacal that give credit to Andy Reid and the Chiefs. You know, I mean, obviously they're scheming him open, but, you know, at some point in time, you just have to be aggressive enough to man up, to play him man and bracket him over the top and just not let him get out. Or at least you have to try that for X number of possessions given down and distance situations. But that's got to be the main, you know, the main way to go. It's perplexing. Yeah. That the Ravens could not figure out to slow him down.
Yeah, perplexing. I mean, a lot of teams haven't, but it's almost like they need to go to like the basketball model, you know, where, okay, you might beat us, but your best player isn't going to beat us. We're going to take him away. It's almost like defenses maybe need to kind of shade that route. Got another one here for you guys. NFL postseason stats. Quarterbacks to start in 4+ Super Bowls. Might, you know, take a second here, think about it. Well, yeah, we're bringing it up for a reason. Patrick Mahomes, he joins the list of Tom Brady, John Elway, Terry Bradshaw, going back a little ways, Joe Montana, Roger Staubach, speaking of going back, Peyton Manning, Jim Kelly, and, of course, Patrick Mahomes. So some big names there, guys. Patrick Mahomes kind of checking that box as well. And Super Bowl 58, Las Vegas, Nevada, we're going to break it down in detail as the show goes on. But again, guys, 17-7 at halftime. It was the Kansas City Chiefs out in front. They actually didn't score in the second half. Baltimore did kick a field goal in the fourth quarter, and Kansas City wins it 17-10. We talked about Lamar Jackson. We talked about Baltimore's kind of play calling or lack thereof. I tend to feel that you know, Lamar Jackson, some of it kind of falls on his shoulders in terms of being the quarterback, having the ball in your hands and not running more than 8 carries. That's kind of ridiculous. You know, to be the NFL MVP and not kind of take grass 2 wins away from winning a Super Bowl here, it's going to be hard to shake for Lamar Jackson. 8 carries, just 54 yards. Man, he did not make it. And if you were watching the prop market throughout the week, it opened 57, his rushing yards prop. And it steamed all the way to as high as I saw out there, 66. So huge money, you know, respected bets as well on the over. Part of it being mine, Mark bet it as well, but it falls short. And man, Kansas City punches their ticket to the Super Bowl again. We get the extra preparation time for the Super Bowl as well, guys. So you got to bring coaching even more to the forefront. In my opinion, you know, the extra preparation time, it means more on coaches. Mark, how do you feel like going into the Super Bowl? Are you a sports bettor that kind of jumps on betting this right away? Or do you kind of sleep on it and think about it? Or are you firing away here with your kind of opening thoughts of the Super Bowl?
I mean, you have to kind of look, there are certain key numbers out there, right, that are going to pop up when it comes to this game, right? So, you know, you're seeing 2s and 2.5s out there. I'm seeing some 1.5s out there, and you're seeing totals of 47.5 and 48. If you believe the over, you want to get 47.5 right now. 48 is a key total. 47 is also one, you know, 27-20, but 47 and 48 are both key totals. But again, 24-24, where this game was in the third quarter or early in the fourth quarter today, that's a big difference between 47 and 48, right? Or you know, but you get the point. I know a game can't end tied, but you follow what I'm saying here. So if you bet numbers, right, and that's what you're supposed to do. You bet numbers, not teams. So if you have a get right now at 1.5, 2, the number doesn't – for the side doesn't really matter. But if you're going to bet a total, you know, 47.5 versus 48 is there could be the difference between a push and a win, right? I mean, it absolutely could be.
Sure.
So if you believe in the numbers, bet the numbers. If you, you know, because there's going to be some volatility over the next 12 hours, right? Over the next 24 hours, there's going to be a lot of shakeups in the numbers. Some people are going to look, they'll wait till tomorrow to bet it. But for the most part, there's going to be some shakeup when it comes to, you know, the first 24, 48 hours of volatility. And there was, even in the AFC Championship game last week, because I remember we were on the air, I locked in the Ravens money line at, it was at 3.5, and I bet it at minus 170. And then some threes popped up, and I saw some minus 150s come out on the Ravens money line. Thought I was going to get a bad number. Well, by kickoff, the thing was at minus 255. So I had closing line value out the yin-yang, and obviously it didn't matter. But the point simply is that early on here in these games, numbers matter. And guess what? If you'd like to get the best number, you better have. Otherwise you wait and hope the public and everything else moves it along for you.
Sure, guys. We'll break down the market for Super Bowl 58 in detail. Stay with us. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. Pro Football Full Circle right here on Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, breaking down the AFC and NFC championship games, getting you ready for Super Bowl 58. Follow Mark on Twitter, at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter, at Drew Martin Betts. We got at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV as well. As we got Frank and Matt behind the scenes in the producer's role, doing a great job as always. And actually, guys, we're going to recap Detroit Lions, San Francisco 49ers. This was the nightcap, if you will, the NFC Championship game, 34-31. That was the San Francisco 49ers in comeback fashion. They were down 24-7 going into the half, come all the way back, and win the game 34-31. However, if you bet the Detroit Lions on the spread, they did come through the back door. That back door was open, touchdown on fourth down. Jared Goff helps out Detroit Lions sports bettors, however, does not punch his ticket back to the Super Bowl. Stat here, the last 17 quarterbacks to lose in their first Super Bowl have not made it back to the Super Bowl. Jared Goff, trying to break that streak, was not able to this season. But overall here, Mark, I guess I'll throw it over to you, man. A game closed, what, 53.5, -7 in the hook, 49ers as the favorites. So 49ers win. Lions cover, game goes up and over the total. What were your overall thoughts from Levi's Stadium here? Lions going down to the 49ers.
I mean, look, you give the Lions a ton of credit, right? Like, they are a very good team. On the whole, they're a very good team. They're well coached. You know, they play good defense. They're very good at stopping the run. Their pass defense needs a little work, obviously. And you give a ton of credit for them to getting to this point. For this specific game, tough to swallow a pill when you blew a 17-point lead. Tough to swallow a pill when your head coach passes up a game-tying field goal for something stupid late in the fourth quarter. People don't realize how much bad coaching there is around the NFL. And over the course of a regular season, most people don't realize how much bad coaching there is because there's, 16 games on a week, 13, 14, 15 games on a week. And not everybody watches every single game like we do. And I don't say that like in a condescending way, but as sports bettors, we spend a lot more time watching as many games as we can and games that we're not necessarily invested in just to get information and analytical data points. And you don't realize how much bad coaching there is across the NFL. And for people who didn't watch the Lions on the regular and just read narratives all week long about how much Dan Campbell's a gambler and how much he's a real aggressive coach and he goes for it and everything else. Yeah, all that's fine and good. But your job as a coach is to keep your team and put your team in positions to win a football game. Going forward on fourth down to forego a makeable 47-yard, not easily makeable, but makeable 47-yard field goal to tie the game in the fourth quarter is lunacy. Especially if you want to go fourth and one and run the ball. Okay. Fourth and three, different conversation. Right? Because when we talk about percentages over time, fourth and one, QB sneak gets it like 90% of the time. Fourth and two, QB sneak gets it like 82% of the time kind of deal. Those kind of, when you get past the start, when you move to three, changes the conversation. Changes the playbook too as well. Because 3 yards isn't always guaranteed in a rush. So coaches are more inclined to pass once you get past 2 yards. All that said, His job was to keep his team in the game at that moment, and he didn't do it. That's not the reason they lost the game. They blew a 17-point lead. But they had a reason to get back in the game and get tied at that point in time, and they didn't do it. What do I want to tell you? I mean, you know, it's a young team. They're going to be around for a while. They got all the great pieces in place. Need to work on that secondary, secure the pass defense. No reason to think they won't be one of the better teams in the NFC next year. Jared Goff's got to figure out how to play on the road and win. It's been a problem his entire career. He's got to get better under pressure. It's been a problem his entire career. You can't just always be in the cozy confines of Ford Field and play your best and then go out on the road and play like the reason they shipped you out of L.A. You can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, his profile overall, Mark, you know, the son of a professional athlete, California kid, played his high school football there, college football at Cal. He had a great college career under Sonny Dykes, at least from an ATS betting standpoint. I remember betting on them a lot. That offense was good. And then, of course, goes to the L.A. Rams, controlled climate in a dome, Detroit Lions. He's playing at Ford Field, controlled climate in a dome. It's not the weather was an issue today necessarily. To tell you the truth, he actually played well. You know, his overall stats, 25 of 41, 273 yards with the touchdown, efficient football. That's something, you know, you can kind of compare it to Patrick Mahomes, even Brock Purdy. He didn't play bad either. The interception he threw, it was tipped right out of his hand. So I don't think we can really blame this on the quarterbacks. It's more for me, the Lions lost this game because they went into halftime with a big lead. They felt good about themselves, and they come out, and it's almost like they took a nap and didn't wake up until the fourth quarter. That's what lost them the game. Yes, we can add on the fact Dan Campbell should have kicked the field goal. In my opinion, he should have. Fourth and three. I thought you did a eloquent job of describing that. It is a little bit different of a play call. But the 47-yard field goal in the NFL, very makeable field goal. They should have kicked it. They didn't. They end up coming through the back door, cashing for their backers. However, they don't go to the Super Bowl. And the Detroit Lions, all of their fans know, it's been a rough road here. And they were that close to having it, being up 24-7 at halftime. Got to find a way to win this game and losing it. David Montgomery, I'll tell you this. Man, that guy is a beast. You know, he's low to the ground, tough to tackle. He had 15 carries, just short of 100 yards, over a 6 average. I actually thought they should have given him the ball a little bit more. He did have the touchdown. Christian McCaffrey led the way for San Francisco on the ground, 20 carries for 90 yards. He had 2 touchdowns. Brock Purdy, 20 of 31, 267 yards, the 1 touchdown, the 1 interception. Man, Purdy also ran the ball 5 times for 48 yards. There in the second half, he was extending plays with his feet. I think we got to give Brock Purdy a little bit more credit for, one, extending plays and also gaining ground on the ground. Deebo Samuel, 3 carries, 7 yards. Deebo Samuel led the way, 8 receptions, 89 yards. He's an absolute game changer, Mark. He really is for this offense. I heard something, you know, when he's out of the lineup, it really kind of hinders their play calling because a lot of their plays are meant for Deebo Samuel. And when he's not in there, which he has been banged up at times, kind of changes things for the 49ers with 2 weeks off, would think he's going to be a lot even more healthy heading into the Super Bowl. So he's going to be a big part of that, man. Ayuk also had 3 receptions, 68 yards with a touchdown, over a 22-yard average. Christian McCaffrey got the ball through the air a bunch as well. 4 receptions, 42 yards. St. Brown, he was second.
That one I cashed. That one?
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey over 35 and a half. Yeah, that one actually cashed. So I bet it early.
You like the receptions?
I had him. His receptions was 4.5. I thought it was a little bit sketchy. If it was 3.5, I would have taken it. He only ended up with 4, right?
Yeah, just 4. But yeah. The yards were over 42.
He got 5 targets. He ended up dropping one, too. God, how infuriating is that? But the 35.5, I kind of waited till Thursday, I think it was, to lock that bet in. I knew he would be the benefactor if Deebo Samuel was limited or not playing. He would have gotten the reps in the passing game because the Lions are such a good run defense that he would have been the guy that, you know, they had to get the ball in his hands somehow because he's so dynamic and can change the outcome of a game on his own. So, you know, I think that when push comes to shove here, I bet it because I knew he was going to get the requisite target share of 5 or 6 targets, and I figured that there was more than enough there for him to get 35 yards. Luckily, he got 28 of it on one. It made life a lot easier, and he did it pretty early on in the game, in the first quarter or second quarter, whatever it was. So I felt pretty comfortable at halftime that thing was likely going to go over, and it did. So that was the one thing I got right today. My other two bets went wrong.
Yeah, my Lamar Jackson, that was my biggest prop bet of the day, so never really made it back.
It was bad.
That one, I'm going to remember that for quite a while here. We'll say the Dan Campbell decision to go for it on fourth down, not kick the field goal. Got to bring up the fact Michael Badgley did go 1-for-1 field goals. It was just 21 yards, but he was 4-for-4 extra points. You know, specialist-wise, kind of special teams, Detroit played a great game. Their punter, Jack Fox, also had 2 punts for 54 as an average inside the 20 on one of them. He also kicked one for 74 yards. Jake Moody did miss one field goal for the 49ers. He goes 2-of-3 wide right, just wide right. That was kind of that was his first field goal of the game, actually. His long was 43. He was also 4-for-4. With extra points. Malcolm Rodriguez got the sole interception here in the game, returned it for 9 yards. So kind of hitting all the stats here in this one, guys. But the Lions finish at 12-5. They were 6-3 on the road, but San Francisco moves to 13-5 and punches their ticket into the Super Bowl here, guys. Super Bowl 58 from Las Vegas, Nevada. You know, Mark, I want to ask you, do you think Las Vegas, this just the location overall, now they have 2 weeks to get there, staying in Las Vegas. I saw the NFL making some rules for the players. They're not going to be able to enter a sports book. I thought that was kind of funny. Like, what does it matter if they're betting on an NBA or NHL? You know, they want to place a season win total in MLB. I don't think that should matter. But there was some hefty rules here on the NFL players.
They don't need the headache. They just didn't. They don't need the headache. I mean, it's just not even worth it to let players even get involved in any of this. So just keep them out of the casinos. Keep them out of doing something stupid. If you're playing in the game, you don't belong there. And it's really not a hard rule to follow. Like, why would any of these players venture off into a casino when they're 3 or 4 days out from a Super Bowl? That's just asinine and stupid.
Do you know where they're staying? I would guess off the strip at one of the nicer properties.
I mean, I would assume so. I would think that, you know, their practice facility may be over near UNLV or even – where is Nevada's campus?
Back. It's close to the strip, actually. Campus? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, UNLV is close to the strip.
That way. One school's I don't know. I'm just spitballing. One's probably practicing at UNLV. The other is practicing at Nevada. And, you know, I mean, UNLV is off the strip a little bit. It's actually out near where Circa is, out that way.
Yeah, I would guess that they're both going to be at UNLV. I don't know. I got to do some research. I'll do that in the commercial break here, guys. But I find it fascinating. I mean, this is the first Super Bowl in Las Vegas. It's going to be a great time. I mean, anybody heading out there, I know a lot of people with Sports Grid going to be putting out some content from Las Vegas. So that will be fun, guys. Make sure to tune in here. Sirius Channel 159, Sports Grid from Las Vegas as we get closer to the Super Bowl. San Francisco 49ers, Kansas City Chiefs. We are seeing some early market trading here, guys, with the 49ers -1.5, 47.5 being the total. And we talked about it briefly. We're going to see some movement, some volatility in this number tonight, tomorrow. And then usually, I'm just going off the top of my head from doing this, you know, as my straight job for a decade now. It will kind of quiet down. We'll get, you know, the first 24 hours, 48 hours, there'll be some movement, both side and total. Then it will quiet down. It will settle. And then as we get closer to kickoff, there might be some more movement. So you'll see that with big games, with a lot of lag time in between, a lot of prep time. If I had to guess, actually, we'll save it as we're coming up against the break here, guys, kind of projecting where this spread goes. 49ers -1.5, 47.5, the total for Super Bowl 58. Short break, we'll be right back. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Pro Football Full Circle right here on Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. It's Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, spending 2 hours getting you ready for the Super Bowl. We just recapped Kansas City knocking off the Baltimore Ravens 17-10 and the Detroit Lions going down to the San Francisco 49ers 34-31 as the dog does slip through the back door, but the Lions cannot punch their ticket to the Super Bowl. Even with a big lead at halftime, guys, 24-7, they go down 34-31. That game gets up into over for totals bettors, and Kansas City Baltimore stays under the 44. We are seeing the NFL Super Bowl 58 lines just coming to market here. Minus one in the hook looks like the consensus line here. 49ers as the slight, quote-unquote, road favorite, 47.5 being the total. We will be breaking it down in depth in hour number two. Our initial thoughts here of the opening line, where it's headed, any early props we have circled as the prop market, not I guess, mature to date. But Mark, are you kind of thinking anything off the top of your head from past Super Bowls that you got circled, you're looking to jump in for the prop betting market?
I will tell you that Kyle Juszczyk, and if you didn't pay attention to this, Kyle Shanahan will always use his fullbacks in the passing game. So Kyle Juszczyk, depending on what they make as receptions yards prop or receiving or receptions prop is what I'll always play when it comes to Kyle Shanahan. His fullbacks are always involved in the passing game. Always, always, always. It's the play that no one ever thinks of. It's the guy that no one ever thinks about that's drawn a play up for him. Kyle Shanahan will absolutely draw up a play to get his fullback in the.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, he's behind a lot of guys. They got a lot of talented, you know, big names, receiver, running back, Christian McCaffrey, Debo Samuel, Ayuk as well, George Kittle even. So he can slip there, and it's all about the game plan, how they look to attack it. So, guys, we are going to break down Super Bowl 58 on the other side in hour number two. Don't go anywhere. Sports Grid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.